He says, I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. Okay, question. What is the topic that he's talking about? What's the word that he says about, I don't know, a bazillion times in there?
I've done all this work for nothing.
Okay, yeah.
This also is vanity.
Okay, this also is vanity. He says that several times. And toil, 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 toil. He's talking about work.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so the topic is work. So in the past, he dealt with pleasure and all of the different pleasures the world can give you. He talked about wisdom and knowledge and understanding and all that. Now he's going to talk about work. And what is his conclusion about work?
His conclusion in verse 23 is, this too is meaningless.
Okay, yeah.
This too is meaningless.
That's right. This is meaningless or vanity or a breath, a vapor. Yeah, he says that in verse 19, this also is vanity. He says that in verse 21, this also is vanity. He says that in verse 23, this also is vanity. It keeps coming up, right? And he's talking about your toil, all the toil in which I toil under the sun, and on does the word toil come. And so work, he's saying, is vanity, just like all the other stuff that he's been talking about. Why does he say work is vanity?
It amounts to nothing at the end.
Okay, it amounts to nothing in the end. Where have you seen this? You ever seen this? Where your work, or it comes to nothing in the end.
Who was it? I mean, Howard Hughes, wealthiest man in the world. He died a recluse. He had long fingernails, wealthiest man in the world, but didn't mean it. I think Howard,
okay.
So he's a great example of, he had all this money, but he had nothing.
Accumulation.
Yeah.
You know, earlier at dinner, we talked about jobs.
Set up.
Well, I so think of old jobs. So I served in the U.S. Army in the 25th Medical Battalion in Schofield Barracks, Hawaii. And when I was there, so I was the executive officer of Charlie Company, and you know, I had other jobs when I was in the 25th Medical Battalion, because you don't work the same job all the time. But within the company, everybody knew who I was. I was the number two guy in the whole company. And you know, what I said mattered, and so on. I was like, within that structure, I was an important guy. Today, if I were to go back there to same company, Charlie Company, 25th Medical, but they wouldn't even know who I was. In fact, they might not even let me on the base. Now, I used to teach at Lackland Junior Senior High School in San Antonio, Texas. I taught middle school and high school English. When I was a teacher there, it was a small school. So when I was a teacher there, every single person in the school knew who Mr. Demshak was. Today, if I were to go back there, I don't even know that they would let me in the school. They would have no idea who I was. You know, a guy works for Apple. He's developing iPhones, right? What are we on right now? Like 18 or something? Apple
18,
17. 9, whatever. I don't know what we're on. Let's just say we're on 18. So he's developing the iPhone 18. And he invests all of his work life into putting out the iPhone 18. And he does it. And you know what's going to happen? In 6 months, you're going to have the iPhone 19. And everything he just worked for is obsolete. Mm-hmm. Or Samsung's going to come out with whatever. Or and so on. And then the guy that did the 19 that passed him, 20's right around the corner. And this is how work is. This is the work world. It's you invest your life into something, and you know, while you're doing it, it's really important, but it gets passed by.
Absolutely.
That's right. Now, think of your old jobs. If you were to go back to the, you know, whatever, wherever you were, how many people would actually even know who you were? What's that?
As a very few, if one.
That's right. Very few people would even know who you were.
One generation.
And then, I'm sorry, go ahead.
One generation is all it takes.
That's right. Sometimes it's even less than that.
Uh-huh.
And then Solomon has this other idea in here. You work, you work, you work. And you have to leave what you work to someone else. It's what I had to do. You know, when I left the 25th Med Battalion, somebody else took my place. And all the work I did, they had to take out over. And when I left teaching at Lackland, somebody else backfilled me, and they were the new English teacher, and I was gone. And all the work I did with those students, who knows? Who knows what the new teachers, you know, would do when I was gone? Who knows what's going to happen with all that work you did in the end? That's Solomon actually talks about that. And Solomon is a perfect example of this, because Solomon had a son. And Solomon's son's name was Rehoboam. And does anyone know what happened with Rehoboam? No, he was not. So Solomon dies, and his son takes over the kingdom. And Solomon's kingdom is great extent, great wealth, great power, great, all it's a great kingdom. Within probably 2 years, most of that kingdom is gone. After Solomon's death.
Two years.
Yeah.
2 years.
Within something like that.
Yeah.
Because Rehoboam was a fool. And Rehoboam basically, he said some things that alienated most of Israel. And the Israel, the tribes, there were 12 tribes, 10 of those 12 tribes rebelled against Rehoboam. And now Rehoboam, instead of being king of that whole empire that Solomon worked to get, Rehoboam was king over two tribes. And they had basically a split. It was a divided kingdom, kind of like a civil war, almost. Something like that. So, verse 22, look at verse 22. Just, what does it mean? And 23, sorry, read that too.
it seems that you spend all day hard working. It seems there's no meaning inside. Why it's a, you only feel like a grief and pain because you do a lot of labor work, but actually in the end at night you think, why am I doing this? Like,
okay, yeah,
this kind of thing.
Yeah, he has no rest in his heart at night over all the work that he was doing during the day. It's like the job is, he's thinking about the job at night. It can't, the job can't like escape him. Mm-hmm. There it is.
Because tomorrow it is still going on.
That's right. When your job is your life, it goes home with you. When your job is your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any questions or comments so far in what Solomon's been saying? That is.
That's the religions and stuff of the world.
Okay.
Yeah. When I started to graduate from college and start work, it was 22, 23 years old. And at that time, it seems the goal of my life is to have a wife, have a family, have a house, and maybe have a car.
Okay.
So that is it. But actually, when I have them all, like 15 years later, I still feel not filled in my heart. I have these. So, and what then?
Yeah.
My life should be end there or what?
Right.
I actually don't know. I actually don't know where to go.
Okay.
And you know, the idea of the society sometimes changes, and they push you to, I mean, if you live with all the things are changing and changing and changing, you don't know what you are chasing for, what your life is chasing.
Right.
And just like, yeah, when I graduated in my 20s, it was like, okay, if you have a very good job, you have some money and
yes.
you have a house and
yes.
you have a wife, oh, your life is full. That was full.
Okay.
But when I all have this, it's still not full. I it seems okay, I have it, and then what's next? I don't know.
okay now I told you Solomon's going to introduce a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming in the next verses, and this idea he's going to introduce is actually going to seem crazy based on what he's been saying. So I'm going to read starting in verse 24. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, God, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after the wind. Okay, what do verses 24 and 25 mean? Okay.
And don't worry about the rest of life, I guess.
Okay.
That's because why worry about, I won't say worry, but why be concerned about what goes on in life when it amounts to nothing anyway?
Okay. He's telling you to enjoy life, isn't he?
Yes, he is, just under God.
Okay, yeah, that's an important part.
Right.
Can you enjoy food and drink and toil? Those are the things he mentions in verse 24. Can you enjoy food and drink and toil when it's just a breath and it's gone? And if so, how? Because he's been telling us all along that that stuff is vanity, meaningless, it has no point. It's here and it's gone. And now he's saying, oh, there's nothing better under the sun than to enjoy your life.
Well, I understand it as God put us here to work to stay healthy.
Okay.
Which we need to do to stay healthy.
Okay.
Otherwise, that's why you, when you come out of the mother's womb, they feed you to get better and bigger and healthier.
Yeah.
And so consequently, that's part of God's plan. I mean, that's why he created us. He gave us all the food that we need.
Okay, yes.
In the world to be healthy. And he gave us free will to do
yes.
what we wanted to do, and that's what Solomon is basically saying. But then, if we don't have the free live, free will enough to understand that we're here as servant of God.
Okay.
And to be servants, then you gotta stay healthy.
Okay.
And to stay healthy, you gotta eat and drink and work.
Okay, this is more about just being healthy, though. He's saying, really enjoy it.
Well, yeah, that's part of enjoying.
That is.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody look at chapter 3, verse 13. Somebody read it. Chapter 3, verse 13. Leanne, can you read it?
Yeah. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift.
Oh, that sounds like the same thing he just said. Somebody go to chapter 5 and read verse 18. Dave, could you read that for us?
Yeah.
Chapter 5, 18.
You got it, Ray?
Ray's got it.
Okay, go ahead, Ray.
Here's what I have seen. To be good and fitting, to eat, to drink, and enjoy oneself in all one's labor in which he toils, under the sun during the few years of his life, which God has given him, for this is his reward.
Somebody go to chapter 8, verse 15, and read it for me. 8:15. Benny, can you do that?
Yes, 8:15. Let me see. Here it is. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and to be glad. Then joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of the life God has given them under the sun.
Somebody go to chapter 9 and read verse 9. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
9:9. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life, in your toil, in which you toil under the sun.
Okay, guys, this isn't a one-verse thing. This is actually a major theme throughout the book. It keeps coming up in the book. And you know that theme we've been talking about? Vanity of vanities. All is vanity, says the preacher. That keeps coming up. And we've got these two themes running through this book. And one of them says that all of this life under the sun is vanity.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one says that you should enjoy the life that you are given under the sun. And they both run together. And somehow they fit together. But when you just think of them, just sort of, you know, your first reaction, at least, is how do these fit together? That's your first reaction, right? And so then, how should we view all of the pleasures of earth, the pursuits of earth? How should we view them?
As holy, I think. God is holy, and so he made us to be holy. Of course, we can't be the holy unless we're fortunate to know that Jesus came to give us that part of our life that we
okay.
have missed.
Okay, so you're talking about the enjoy it part. What about the other part?
What
about the vanity part?
Does the other part matter at this time?
I think it does. I mean, it's a central idea in the book. It's something that Solomon isn't going to let go of. He's going to keep coming back to it throughout the book.
Yeah, I realize that.
How does he describe all of these things? Food, drink, toil. Look at, yes, he does. And then, but on the good side, how does he describe them? Like chapter 3, verse 13. They're from the hand of God. That's in chapter 2, right?
Yeah.
Chapter 3, 13, what does he say they are?
So is that meaning God always wants us to enjoy life?
Yeah, God wants you to enjoy life. 3:13, what does he describe them as?
God's gift to man.
They're gifts. Mm-hmm. Food is a gift from God. Drink is a gift from God. Your wife or your husband is a gift from God. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your meal. Enjoy your toil. It's a gift from God. Okay? That's how he describes them. So then what's the problem? Why are they vanity?
Without God, they are vanity.
They are vanity without God.
So with God in there, does God want you to have a good life?
Okay.
And using what he's given you to serve other people, to help people, so it's
for fellowship.
Yeah, it's for others. It's other-centered, not self-centered.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so... So Solomon's view of life is more complex than you think. It's not one-sided. It's not all vanity, vanity, vanity. He sees something in it that is worth enjoying. But when you focus on enjoying it, you got to remember it's still not what life's about. So let me put it this way. The pleasures and the pursuits of life are not God. They're not God. They're gifts from God. And there's a big difference. And when people make money their God, it goes bad. When people make anything that's earthly under the sun into the main thing, the thing that they're supposed to be living for, it goes bad. It's like, think of, you have, we talked last week about these desires we have, right? We have these desires for food. We get hungry. We have desire for food. Okay. And I said last week that when you have a desire for food, nothing will satisfy you except food. That's what satisfies that desire. When you have a desire for drink, nothing satisfies it except drink. And so, but here's the deal. When you are hungry, sometimes not even food will satisfy the desire, because you have to have food that is appropriate. What I mean by that is, if the food is spoiled, not only will it not satisfy you, but it will actually make you sick. The food has to be the right kind. You have to have food in the right conditions. Okay, life is that way. Life, you enjoy it when it's in the right conditions. But you get it in the wrong conditions, and it spoils, and it makes you sick. Well, I'll tell you what the wrong conditions are. When life turns into God. When you live life as if life is God, when your work is your life, your work was never meant to be your life, and it goes bad under those conditions. And work goes bad, and your heart goes bad, and it's just a bad thing all around, and it spoils. But if you enjoy God, you put God first. He gave that to you as a gift. What do you do with gifts? You enjoy them, right? All of a sudden, you see work a different way, and you're free to enjoy it. All of a sudden, you see dinner a different way, and you're not living your life for good dinners. You're living your life for God, but He gave you a good dinner, and you're grateful to God for the dinner He gave you, and you can enjoy it. This is how life is. Life is meant to be enjoyed as a gift from God when we realize that it's a gift from God and not itself God. That's the problem the human race has, is we turn everything into God. We live for money, we live for pleasure, we live for sex, we live for entertainment, we live for achievements, we live for our job, we live for drink, some people do. There's different aspects, different people turn different aspects of life into God. That's what they live for. And it goes bad. And when it goes bad, it makes you sick.
Yeah.
Because that's not what life was ever meant to be. And you got to see in Ecclesiastes, you got to see both of these things together. It's vanity, it's meaningless, but it's also a good gift from God to be enjoyed under the right circumstances. That's something we've got to see about life. It's not God. Here's the second thing we need to see about life. Earth is fallen and broken. We need to see that. It's part of the fall. When you see that, that can help you enjoy life properly. Because when you see the brokenness of this earth, it helps you not trust in earth. But if you don't see the brokenness of earth, you just see more, 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 like the Super Bowl commercial, you know, the how pretty it is. If that's all you see, that's all you chase. But when you see how it's actually broken, it helps you to not chase it for the wrong reasons. And we need to see that. We also need to see that earthly pleasures and earthly pursuits are limited. How can this help us? Okay.
Food is good, but at some point you got to stop.
Yes.
Stop eating.
That's right.
And be thankful for that and don't be like greedy.
Okay, good.
Work for your toil. You know, work what you need to work and then be thankful.
Yes.
Don't make it so important that you have to,
Yeah. Earthly pleasures are meant to be enjoyed within proper limits. I mean, maybe the biggest, most obvious example of this would be sex. God gave sex to the human race as a good gift to be enjoyed by a husband and a wife. And within those parameters, within those limits, beautiful thing. But you get outside those limits, it spoils. It's like milk that's been out of the refrigerator for 2 weeks. It starts stinking. Sex does that outside the proper limits that God set. But sex isn't the only thing that has limits. Everything on earth has limits. We're to enjoy them within the boundaries that God has put around them, whatever they are. Money, work, you know, pleasures, whatever they happen to be, they have limits to them for enjoyment.
Where those limits might be. by depends on your upbringing or by getting information from the Word. Like
yeah, the Scriptures will talk about those limits.
Like
yeah, the Scriptures will talk about what are the limits to, you know, how do you enjoy money? How do you enjoy your job? How do you, you know, so on. Scripture talks about that kind of stuff. And it talks about it first by, you know, you enjoy, you don't make them God. You make God God.
Well, you enjoy the things he gives you because in this society, like you talk about money, unless you make money, the love of money,
yes,
you know, a vehicle by which you live with, but the Lord blesses you with a job, making money, so you can buy food, do all these things. Because that's the medium we have to get these items. I mean, you could use anything else. Farmers use whatever products they had to exchange each
sure.
other. So we have a vehicle of money, so because of the exchange is easy. So you make money, you give the money to somebody, and they give you food for it.
Right.
And that's the enjoyable part of it, of course, but like we all said, you know, when you start making money, you're God, and that's the only thing you work for.
Yeah.
And it becomes, like you say, spoiled.
It goes bad, yes. Okay, practical things that we can do to enjoy life properly. One, enjoy God. That's the biggest thing you can do. If you enjoy God, you really get to know him and enjoy him. It totally changes how you look at life. Because when you enjoy God, what God does is he satisfies your soul. And when your soul is satisfied, it's now actually free to enjoy a good pizza. Or to enjoy whatever. You're free to enjoy whatever gifts God has given you when you're enjoying God first. God's very, I'll put it this way, jealous. He doesn't want any other gods. And he's created life this way on purpose because people want to make these other things God. They want to replace God with something else. And God has set the whole thing up such that when you do that, it stinks in your soul. It gives you no peace. It doesn't work. He's intentionally built it that into the system because he doesn't want that. He wants us to find our enjoyment in him. That's the most important thing you can do to start enjoying this life the way God made it. Meant it to be enjoyed is to start enjoying him first. And this ultimately is why Jesus came. He came to make us one with God again. So our sin separates us from God. Sin and God do not mix. And the reality is you sin, and so do I. And anyone who's honest will say they've got sin. And that separates you from God. And so it's like a doctor who has to treat an illness. When you treat an illness, you have to actually treat what's wrong and not just treat the symptoms. And so what's wrong is sin. That's what's wrong. Now, there are symptoms that come with that. And you can treat the symptoms and make yourself, you know, pain relievers and whatnot. But the real problem is sin. That's the cancer. Sin is the cancer in our soul. And God has to treat that. That's what the cross is about. The cross is about God treating the cancer of sin so that the human race can come to him. Because when the sin is cleansed, we can come to God and enjoy Him. And once you start enjoying God, you can start enjoying life in a totally different way. That's the first thing. Okay, here's the second thing that will help us to enjoy life properly. Be content with what you have. You know that commercial? More, 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 more. That's not content. More is not content. Content is okay with what I have now. That's what content is. And so, so this is kind of, I've been reading a book by Bobby Jameson. It's actually, he's writing on Ecclesiastes. And he talks about how so many people live life not to enjoy, but to get. And he's right. And getting is not enjoying. Those are not the same thing. Don't worry about getting. Enjoy what you have. Now, that's easier to do when you enjoy God. When you're content in Christ, you're content. I mean, that's the thing of it, you know? And when you're content, you don't need more because you're content. That's what contentment means. And that's what Jesus does. He makes you content so that you don't have to have more. And so getting is not the answer.
Like he says, look at the lilies of the field.
They're
pretty and everything. They don't toil, they don't worry about it.
That's right. Not even Solomon in all of his splendor was arrayed like one of these,
yeah.
He said. Don't hoard. Do you all know the word hoard, English word, hoard? No, okay. Hoarding is where you get more and you keep it and get more and keep it and get more and keep it and get more and keep it and you just, you don't even necessarily, you don't even use it. You just get more so you can have more. That's the English word for that is hoard, H-O-A-R-D, hoard. Don't hoard, share. Dave was talking about that earlier, about, you know, what you can do with your stuff is use it for God's kingdom. Share what you have. Be open with your home. Be open with your car, with your stuff, with your, you know, whatever. Be generous. That's something that actually helps us let go of stuff. Third, see life as God's gift. This is going to help you enjoy life when you see it as His gift. Look past the gift to the giver. See, every gift has a giver. And when you focus on the gift, you miss the giver. But look to the giver. Realize this came from God. This is a good gift. And so see God in the gifts. That's going to help you enjoy the gifts. So I use this picture. I've told this picture to people many times. My grandmother made this, she made the best homemade chicken soup I think I've ever had. And I mean, everything was homemade. The noodles were homemade. I can remember going into my grandmother's kitchen and she would be at the table and she would have dough spread out on the table with a knife and she's just cutting up noodles. The dough was for the noodles and she's cutting up noodles. Just homemade. And I knew when Grandma was cutting up noodles, we were having some of Grandma's chicken soup tonight. And oh my goodness, that stuff is so good. Okay, let me ask you guys a question now. Which is more important? My grandmother's homemade chicken soup or my grandmother?
Grandmother.
Yes. What if I made the soup the main thing? I would have a problem with my grandmother, wouldn't I? I'd miss a great blessing. Okay, that's what we do with life, guys. It's a wonderful gift from God. My grandmother's chicken soup was a great gift. I loved it. But my grandmother is far better. She's the giver of that gift. And that's what we do with God. He's given us all this stuff, and we just forget about him because we got the stuff. And we focus on the stuff, and we forget about the giver. And it messes up the whole relationship.
Sure does.
That's what people do all the time. Okay, fourth thing. How can you better enjoy life? Give thanks to God for what you have. How would this help you enjoy life? If you were to give thanks to God for what you have, how would that affect how you would enjoy life?
It's like you're turning it back over to Him.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know it's a gift, and so you're thanking Him for it.
Yeah.
Not depending on yourself to have work.
Okay, sure. Yeah, you're not working for it, are you?
No.
Life is grace. God gives you life. What did you do to earn the breath that you're breathing now?
That's a gift too.
That's a gift too. And what did you do to earn that gift? Nothing. You didn't do anything to earn that gift. Your heart's pumping. That's a gift. What did you do to earn it? Nothing. He just gave it to you. You know, we had a good dinner tonight. And you say, well, yeah, we earned because I went out and had a job and I used that money to buy the food that, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I went out and earned money. With what strength? It's the strength that's in my body. And what did I do to earn that strength? Nothing. This is grace. When we give thanks for what God has given us, we appreciate it more. We realize that we don't deserve any of these gifts that He gives us. He's just gracious. He's given us so much. And we don't deserve it, but He still gives it. He's a very kind and gracious God. We see that in God. And when you see that in God,
that's His mercy.
Yes, it's His mercy. And when you see that in God, it changes your heart. And at the end of the day, that's what matters, is your heart. If your heart is content and your heart is happy in Christ, that's what matters. That's not vanity, guys. At all.
Mike, I got an
okay.
Example.
Yes, go ahead.
This ring, I was going to buy a desk, and I was not a very good student. I had 5 D's. I amazingly made it to college. Well, my wife helped me a lot. But I was going to buy a desk for $40, and she took that money and bought me this ring for $40 in Southwest Texas. You shared this, I go, wow. She said, I believe in you that you made it through college.
Yeah.
And so that has so, like you said, it's not the ring, $40. No, Aggie rings are now $2,000. You probably do that in new rings. But this means so much because my wife said, I believe in you.
Yeah.
You got through college. I helped you, but you did it. You did it. You know, just her love for me and that. So.
Okay. What I would like to do is close our time. I told you that this last thing that's going to help you enjoy life is just to give thanks to God for what you have. What I'd like to do is close with a time where we actually do that. And so I don't want to just talk about it. I'd like to do it. And so what I'm going to do is just kind of open it up. And I want you to just pray prayers of thanksgiving for, and then you fill in the blank, whatever that is,